much about.
We need something massive and attention-getting, something that will grab people by the ears, yell at them through a bullhorn, and hit them like a bolt of lightning.
I got it. What is it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend, weekend.
You got some people that's trying to, like, make their way. It's like with the, let's say, 5%, 10%, 85%. And it's like this, the 10% is the media for the most part. The 85% don't really know what it is. And the 5% that know what it is can't get it past the 10%.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Nobody's buying that bullshit.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. It over to me.
JK, JK,
roll another one.
Okay, well, how does that sound to a lady?
Just like the other one.
Some dreams come true.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I suck donkey.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Is that about butt sex?
Roll another one.
Peanut butter dreams.
Just like the other one.
That's not sexy, that's animal.
This one seems to be about sex.
Why don't you take 15 minutes and really think about whether or not you want to be part of this?
But
this is America. I want it now.
Just pass it around.
I like soccer. It is good.
This is malicious fecal distribution.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Why are you smiling? Like it's funny. This isn't fun time. This is work. You can't do this, you know, on a real show.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Friday morning. It's January 29th. What's happening?
Where's Allie?
She's sick.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking yesterday, even see, here's how she screwed up this time. Here's how she played this, and it's her plan was see-through. Here's how she's not pulling this off with me.
All right.
Because even if she were sick, as you say,
right,
she'd still be tweeting. You can't keep Allie away from tweeting.
Okay.
She's obsessed. So the only reason she wouldn't be tweeting, having trouble getting Wi-Fi or cell phone in the casinos. Am I right?
Wow. So she hasn't been tweeting, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
right.
Then you're saying that it's because she doesn't have access to the internet where she is.
Because she's in the casinos. Right, exactly.
Right.
Because
what,
it's notoriously tough to get a signal in there.
Okay. But let me just run this by you. Mm-hmm. What if, since everyone seems to have the flu.
Right. Which she used as her cover. Right. Because other people were already sick, so it's easy peasy for her to convince us that she's sick, even though she's in Vegas. She's like,
right.
Oh, you know what? I don't even have to make up a reason. I'll just glom onto their reason. Look, Omar's already laid the groundwork for me. Omar's out. I'll just say I'm sick too. Boom. On a plane, Southwest.
I didn't get a chance to finish my question. What if she's sick?
Well, that seems unlikely. Come on.
It seems unlikely because everybody else has the flu.
You're trying to see a zebra, Kevin, and sometimes it's just a horse. All right? You're looking too hard.
I see.
So I'm just saying, well played, Ally McKay, well played. And brilliant, brilliant to do the whole Thursday thing, and then Friday, you know, you just add on, and boom, now you get yourself a four-day weekend. So she wins.
Wow.
Hey, one of the great debates that's going on in this country right now is a difficult one for a lot of people. And that is, what do you do with restrooms in public places like schools and shopping malls and libraries and lots of restaurants, places like that, with people who identify as the opposite sex? There are debates going on right now in San Francisco, in Olympia, Washington, in Richmond, Virginia. It's a big issue. If somebody says, no, no, I know I'm a boy, but I identify as a girl, I should be able to use the girl's bathroom, do you let them?
Well, the problem is that they're not all telling the truth. That's the problem. You don't know who is and who isn't.
Right. So that's the world we live in. So what do you do? So how do you handle it?
I mean, I know this probably wouldn't work, but I would add a third bathroom, just one of those with a door and one toilet, and anybody can use it that wants to. Men,
so
women.
Build a unisex bathroom
if you could.
On every public building in America.
Yes, that's my plan.
Okay.
And we run a pipe, and we run a pipeline up to Washington and we get water. That's also my plan.
All right, good. All right, so now we've already got that problem.
All right.
Now what do you do with this woman who is Norwegian and she identifies as a cat? So what do you do with her?
Put her down.
She claims that she realized
she answered your question. You put her down.
She realized, but she's healthy, Kevin. You can't just put a cat down that's healthy. She claims her name is Nano. She realized that she was a cat when she was 16 years old. She's 20 now, by the way, and she has recently done an interview on Norwegian TV where she has opened up about her life as a cat. She has described how she has a superior sense of hearing and sight, which allows her to hunt mice in the dark.
Oof.
Although, by the way, she also says she has not yet caught any mice in the dark. So I guess technically I could hunt mice in the dark. She claims to possess many feline characteristics, including a hatred of water and the ability to communicate simply by meowing. The young woman shows off her cat characteristics by wearing fake ears and an artificial tail. I realized I was a cat when I was 16, when doctors and psychologists found out what the thing was with me. Under my birth, this is her quote now, under my birth, there was a genetic defect. So she says she identifies as a cat. She says when she's walking around, for instance, in the train station in Oslo, where part of this interview is shot, she says she can see and hear things that a normal person might not. Suitcases rolling on the ground, keys clinking in pockets, people with ice under their shoes.
Right.
All of a sudden during the interview, she lets out a hiss and takes a step back. There's a dog over there. She explains, sometimes I hiss when meeting dogs in the street. It's because of their behavior, and my instinct automatically reacts by hissing. She wears a pair of pink, fluffy paws with which to groom herself.
Wow, I just couldn't hate her more.
And feels especially like doing so when she is in contact with water. When asked if she was born as the wrong species, she says, yes, I was born as the wrong species. She, look, it took a long time before people came to grips with those who identify as the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Now, is this the start of...
But that whole group is people.
Mm-hmm.
And people. And then there's people in there.
You don't think we're heading toward a world where 100 years from now it might be very common for me to identify as a giraffe and you to identify as a centipede?
I don't understand what answer I could give you right now. The opposite of what you just said is true.
Okay.
Did I say that right?
Okay. Nano prefers to crawl around on her hands and knees, and she paws at the window when she wants to go outside. She also says that she can sleep in the sink and on windowsills, depending on the size. It's obvious that I'm a cat when I start purring and meowing and walking around on four legs and stuff like that.
So I think I love her, first of all. I love her. And second
you went
of
from
all,
hating her to loving her.
And second of all, just carry your own litter box. Sorry. Carry
well
your
said.
Own litter box.
So that is our new friend Nano in Oslo, who identifies as a cat. So
is that a big thing? Do you know? Is that a thing where people all over the world think they're animals?
No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, this isn't the first time I've seen an article like this,
right.
But this is the first one that I've seen in context with the discussion that's already going on about what sex people identify with. And that's what made me think it was interesting, is because I'm just wondering if more and more people are going to turn up like this or not.
Let's put that one off until we've discussed the other fully and fixed the other problem. I'm not sure what to do with people who think they're cats. Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
I would love to, but okay, I great. Don't want but, to.
Okay. Okay. It's Friday, so we've got the movie beat.
Yeah, we do.
Very excited about that. We have, I don't know if you guys watch the Wendy Williams show.
I can honestly say I don't know that I've seen 2 minutes of the Wendy Williams show since it's been on the air.
Yeah. I think they replay it in the afternoon sometimes, and so sometimes when I'm home and I'm flipping around, I come across it, and I'm flabbergasted by the fact that this show is on the air. And then still on the air. And then I'll come across it about a year later. I go, how is the Wendy Williams show still a thing? And it just got renewed to 2020.
Yeah, I think it's pretty popular.
Yes. I'm going to play some highlights for you, Bean. And you're going to see.
Good.
You're going to see what people love. And maybe what people love, maybe what I don't. But anyway, it's annoying, and I've got some highlights of that. We've got your Weezer tickets, and we've got one of our favorite comedians, Hannibal Buress. Very excited about this in studio to tell us about his Netflix special. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 647 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Got the news on Channel 2 this morning, and they're doing a story on the preparations for the AT&T Stadium in Santa Clara for the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Sure.
And the grounds crew yesterday painted the Broncos in both end zones by mistake. Come on, guys. Pay attention.
Doesn't that take a long time?
I'm yes, going to it takes a lot of work.
Vegas, bet his money on the Broncos. They can score on either end.
That's so crazy. Right.
Can't lose with Denver. I can't. Like, how does that happen? How does somebody not go, oh, I got the Panthers?
Because one of the crew is Kevin. That's how it happens.
How?
They said, okay,
you paint
the Panthers, okay? Yes, of course, I will get the Broncos. I will go Broncos. And then they go the separate way. They walk down different ends of the field. Everybody starts doing their work. And then one guy, the manager, walks around and goes, what the? You said I do Broncos. No, we said Panthers. Oh, that's on me. That's my bad. That was on me.
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
They had one job. That's all I'm saying. All right, 5:55. It's finally Friday. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Guys, getting your new Barbies?
Getting your new Barbies.
Come on.
No.
Now we have a choice. Mattel has unveiled its new line of Barbies.
Okay.
Aimed at giving kids a toy that's shaped more like human women actually are shaped.
Okay.
So you have a traditional freak Barbie with in real life she'd have like a 4-inch waist and a 72-inch bosom. You got her. You got the classic. But now you can get petite Barbie, tall Barbie, and curvy Barbie. Who's packing a little extra plastic around the butt and hip area. And everyone's very excited. Everyone's very excited.
Yeah.
Because now Barbie will reflect real women more so than the impossible image that she has projected for lo these many years. Now, some people are saying, ugh, really? You think a toy influences girls' body image as much as all the photoshopped media and all the pressure out there and all the fashion industry and everything else? It really is just a small drop in the bucket. However, some are very excited about the change. Sir Mix-a-Lot tweeted.
I'm sorry.
Mix-a-Lot tweeted.
Did you change stories?
Nope.
Okay, wait.
Salute to Mattel for creating a curvy Barbie. Maybe some of you fellas will play with dolls now, LOL. Hashtag... Any guesses?
I like big butts.
Baby got back. Close enough. Some are saying Mattel's change for Barbie may not necessarily be altruistic. That means out of the goodness of their heart. Oh. Kevin. Because think about it. New Barbie? New body shape Barbie?
Yeah.
Is not interchangeable now. The clothes for the old Barbie are not interchangeable with the new body types.
Got to buy all new stuff.
Got to buy all new gear. Got to get chunky Barbie pants, and you got to get midget Barbie shoes, and everything's got different sizes now. So you're going to have to load up on the accessories. Cha-ching, cha-mother-loving-ching. So this may all be an evil plan on behalf of Mattel. But I'd like to believe they did it with goodness in their hearts.
Sure you would,
don't you? Congratulations. to the gentlemen on this list, not just gentlemen, but ladies too. The Harris Poll, one of the most prestigious and respected pollsters in the U.S., have released their annual America's Favorite Movie Star list. America's Favorite Movie Stars. These are the stars we love. We love these stars. They're America's Favorite Movie Stars. Would you like to take a guess on who is America's Favorite
George
Movie Stars?
George Clooney.
The Clune Dog did not make
what
the top 10. So, of course,
wow.
I dismissed this
list. That's a stupid
outright.
List.
I dismissed it outright.
Wow.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, number two on the list.
Good guess, Rodney.
He is the second most beloved movie star in these United States.
Turd Ferguson.
Did not make the list. You're going to be surprised.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, number one, Kevin. Number one.
Look at that.
Tom Hanks is the most beloved movie star. Thanks, Chip, for whispering that into Kevin.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate it. So we got one and two.
That's
you got, it. You got the big ones.
How about Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell, not in the top 10 list.
Channing Tatum.
Not in the top 10 list.
Ooh. He said men and women, by the way, so maybe there is...
There's a couple of ladies.
Okay. Though.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, seventh on the list. She is beloved. I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to fill them in for you. Number 10, Julia Roberts. America still loves Julia Roberts. She's America's sweetheart.
Okay.
Number 9, Brad Pitt. A gentleman named Brad Pitt. Familiar with Brad Pitt?
Sure.
Clint Eastwood is still on the list at number 8.
How about that? Wow.
You're going to be thrown because there's some oldies but goodies on this
list.
Yeah,
wow.
So some people still holding carrying a torch for Clint Eastwood. Sandra Bullock, 6th on the list.
Of course. Sure.
America loves Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, deserves to be on the list.
Harrison Ford, 5th on the list.
Is that just because of this Star Wars?
Well, he's also been in the
No, I know he's been in
a
ton of stuff.
Forever.
It's been a while. Well, I don't know. I feel like it's been a while since he's made one of these lists.
Number 4. If I told you you had to pick a dead movie star that America still loves in droves, what would come to mind?
Don't say John Wayne.
John the Duke Wayne.
Hey, he told you not to say
I
that.
I have to say what number 4 is. It's on the list.
Oh my God. Isn't it insane that year after year these polls come out with John Wayne on the list? And it's not like he has a high-profile career as a dead person. It's not like his movies are beloved and are on TV all the time. And there's no John Wayne theme park. He's not starring in commercials. Like, where are people still thinking of even John Wayne?
I beg to differ about the theme park. Remember Wayne's World? That was very popular.
I think that's the same thing.
Oh, I never bothered to look into it.
Yeah. Probably smart.
However, there's a ton of Wayne gear out there.
Really?
Like, he's one of the most merchandise celebrities in the States. You got John Wayne collector's plates and throw rugs and pillows and guns.
But I would think for top-of-mind awareness, it would be movies on TV and commercials and things like that would keep
him.
Well,
let me tell you this, Pilgrim.
Yes.
I'm going to have to disagree with you.
Yeah, well, apparently you're right.
Woo! Break out the John Wayne impression. Thanks so much. And number 3, Denzel Washington. Hashtag list so white. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oprah Winfrey.
Does my butt look big?
62 years old today. Oprah Winfrey, by the way, recently announced she lost 26 pounds with the Weight Watchers program.
Mm-hmm.
Which caused stock, once again, to spike by about 17%. When she bought 10% of Weight Watchers for her initial investment.
That's what I was going to say. She bought part of it.
Stock doubled. So she made about $70 million on the day she announced.
Wow.
And she's made another 20 or change or something with the announcement of her loss of 26 pounds.
Wow.
This is the perfect racket. The perfect racket.
That's crazy.
Adam Lambert's 34 years old. Riff Raff, the rapper, is 34 as well. Tom Selleck is 71. Screw you, Tom Selleck. Screw you.
What are you upset about?
Have you seen him at 71? You seen him?
Yeah. Yes.
It's unearthly. It's a deal with the devil.
I mean, he looks 46, maybe.
Maybe. It's disgusting on every possible level. Actress Heather Graham is 46. Actress Sarah Gilbert is 41. And actor-director Ed Burns is 48. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last couple of weekends, Ralph has not given us very much to be excited about at the theater.
It's all over now.
Is it?
That's all over now. Now we got a big weekend.
All right, time for the movie beat. Let's find out.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
The post-holiday doldrums are over. The Hollywood movie machine is cranking up the big product once again. And in this weekend, there's a ton of movies into Cineplexes that you're going to want to check out. Starting with, hey, you got some kids? Hey, you got any kids? Hey, you got any kids? Well, then you're going to take them to Kung Fu Panda 3. That's right. It's the return of the beloved Kung Fu Panda, voiced once again by Jack Black. Dustin Hoffman returns as well, Angelina Jolie. And a new addition to the cast, Bryan Cranston shows up as Po's father, Lee. Po being the Kung Fu Panda.
Sure.
And they get back together again, and it's a reunion. And the Kung Fu Panda, Po, has to teach his fellow pandas how to practice the art of Kung Fu in order to defend their village. The student has become the master.
Oh, I see.
In
yes.
Kung Fu Panda 3, here's a scene where Jack Black and his father, voiced by Bryan Cranston, enter the Hall of Heroes and come across some very rare Kung Fu artifacts.
This is the Hall of Heroes, home of the most priceless Kung Fu artifacts in all of China.
Whoa. This place is
awesome.
You were going to say awesome, right?
Because it totally is.
Totally.
But be super careful. Everything's very fragile here, like the Urn of Whispering Warriors.
Someone broke that once.
Who?
Some idiot.
Check it out. It's the legendary battle rickshaw of Emperor Hawk.
Sweet ride.
Dad, what are you doing? We're not supposed to touch anything.
Oh, sorry. Should I put it back?
Yeah, you probably should. You look so cool, though.
He puts on the armor and he becomes Super Panda or something. Mm. I don't know.
Chip,
I'll let you know this weekend.
Did you get your black belt from Kung Fu Panda?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Black opens up this weekend.
Don't tell me this is a Wayans Brothers movie.
You see, there was a very popular book and film called 50 Shades of Grey.
Don't you dare.
Right? But what if you did a parody of that?
Okay, right.
Hold on. Wait for it.
Okay.
And Marlon Wayans stars as Christian Black, and he finds a young, inexperienced college student, and his sexual practices are crazy. And then she's going to say, "What's up with that?" And then he's like, "Oh," and then, "Oh," I'm laughing just thinking about it. 50 Shades of Black, the parody of the successful book and movie, does indeed star Marlon Wayans, and Callie Hawke stars as his paramour in this film. Here's a scene where the two are working on their relationship communication.
Christian, we have to talk.
You mean like white people?
What's wrong with that?
Well, they just talk a lot. You know, they do it differently than black people do. White people don't like to argue. They like to discuss. And they start throwing around all these big SAT words and putting a lot of emotional guilt on each other. It's just too much to deal with. I like it the black way. You know, when we curse each other out, we may fight, and then we get cool again, but we talk about each other behind each other's back.
What you not going to do?
Oh, no, what you not going to do?
What you not going to do?
You not about to knock me. Don't let me get to clapping, boo.
Oh, hell no.
See? That's communication.
I'm in.
I'm just kidding. I'm not.
No, you're not.
I'm not in.
No,
I am kidding.
You're not kidding.
No, I am kidding.
You're not even a little bit kidding.
I'm kidding. I'm not going to that. Probably.
What time? Jane Got a Gun. That's right. Janie's Got a Gun. In this Western, starring Natalie Portman as a woman. Has
love
to
her.
Ask her ex-lover for help in order to save her outlaw husband from a gang that's out to kill him. This movie, I've been looking forward to seeing it for 5 years now.
Oh, it's been one of those?
It's been one of those sitting on the shelf for a long time. I think how long it's been since Jane Got a Gun has been in production. When I went off to shoot A Million Ways to Die in the West with Seth MacFarlane.
Right. Which was what?
3 years ago?
Two years ago? Okay.
I don't think it was that long.
Right. 2 years.
Down the street, they were shooting this movie. Now, of course, A Million Ways to Die in the West has come and gone.
Right.
And this movie now is just getting released. But Ewan McGregor was working down the street, and so that's why he shows up in A Million Ways to Die in the West. And that one scene is with us at the fair. Joel Edgerton also stars. Ewan McGregor, Rodrigo Santoro. It's a great cast. That's why I can't understand why this has been out of release for so long. That makes me suspect. But at the same time, I love me a good Western. So Jane Got a Gun opening up this weekend. Here's some clips from the trailer.
We were questioning every living soul. Turn over every rock until that snake slithers out into sight. And when she does, well, you bring me her head.
I need a gunslinger.
Bishop boys are coming for you.
You don't need a gunslinger. You need a whole damn regiment.
There's so much you don't know. After you left, Bishop's offered protection for me and my daughter. They had other intentions. I've been running my whole life. They come to my house. I'm going to protect it.
Yeah! Shoot him up! Shoot him up! And lastly, The Finest Hours. Chris Pine. Oh, is he dreamy? Yes, he is. Plays the head of a Coast Guard ship that has to make a daring rescue attempt off of the coast of Cape Cod after a pair of oil tankers are destroyed during a blizzard in 1952. This is a true story. The tankers just split right in half. And Chris Pine's got to go out there with his crew and rescue these men, save their lives. Oh, Bean, you must be so excited. This is a nautical disaster, and it's old.
No, but they rescued people.
Oh, that's
and
true.
And they saved
Not
their
everybody
lives.
Everybody dies.
Right.
And there's no song about it.
Right. That goes on for 15 years.
Here's a scene from The Finest Hour. Here's where Chris Pine is assuring his men that they will return home safely. And he's trying to instill in them a sense of hope so that they believe he will complete this rescue mission.
Listen up! Put the sea behind us! Just let it push us along till we lay up somewhere! Storm's easing up, boys, so we just look for the lights on the shore to guide us in. Even if we have to go so far as Knob's Good Point, so be it. We just gotta find land. What a heck of a long day, right, fellas? Don't you give up hope on me now. The good boat, she'll get us through. We'll get you home, okay? We're all going home.
Not buying it! Not buying it, Chris Pine! That's what I'd be saying from the back of the boat.
You know, the first 10 times I saw the ad for this movie, I thought they were still pushing Heart of the Sea. The commercials look exactly the same as that Ron Howard movie from last month.
No.
Out there on the water with the big
no,
storm.
No, this is Chris Pine.
Okay, all right. Casey that one Affleck, was...
They're ben, both in ben the ocean. Foster.
That's true. They do take that. Place in the same body of water.
Right.
But they're different films. And Chris Pine went out and he went to the tanker and he put everybody on his boat.
See,
and the
that's
waves they were
needs.
Rocking, the storm clouds were brewing, the rain it came down and was awful. That's what this song, that's what this movie needs. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Comedian Hannibal Buress joins us later on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Plus, we want to hook you up with tickets to go see Weezer this summer in one of the final concerts ever at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater and get you qualified for the grand prize drawing. We'll do Monday morning to send you to see the band in Amsterdam. It's destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2016.
R. Kelly is a special dude.
I love R. Kelly, by the way.
But you don't love all of R. Kelly.
And artistically. No. Professionally and artistically, I am a huge fan. I think he is a genius when it comes to R&B music. I really think he is great.
Do you are you a fan
fly,
of him?
Kevin?
Are you a fan of him peeing on his goddaughter?
Well, no, that's what I said.
Okay,
I said professionally and artistically, I am a huge fan. But this is one of those guys, like people struggle with how to come to grips with Woody Allen, the person, versus Woody Allen, the artist. R. Kelly is like that. You know, do you decide you're going to enjoy Bump and Grind and Ignition and ignore Peeing on His Goddaughter? And didn't he marry Aaliyah when she was like 15, too? Wasn't that R. Kelly?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, so it's definitely – I mean, I definitely have two minds when it comes to R. Kelly, but he is a fascinating guy who very rarely sits down for in-depth interviews. And when he does, he has a lot of ground rules. There's a lot of stuff he won't talk about. He did an interview a couple of weeks ago with Huffington Post. Maybe you saw the video online where he just stood up and pulled off his microphone and just walked out when they started asking about some of the charges against him in the past. He just won't talk about it, understandably. But he consented to an interview with GQ with no restrictions, and they sat down with him for several hours over the course of three different days and interviewed him about all facets of his life. And it's pretty darn interesting, particularly the part where they asked him to sing his life story.
Just a quick version of. And it's 45 minutes long, and it starts with this.
Are we rolling?
Are we rolling? Are we rolling? Are we rolling? This is my life. I'm R. Kelly, and this is my life. This is my life. Okay, this is my life.
Okay, good.
I'm R. Kelly, and this is my life.
45 minutes this goes on, and then he starts singing about riding a bike when he was a kid.
Born in the ghetto. Riding my bike, 14 years old. My mom said, you can go two blocks and come back. I said, okay, mama, two blocks and back. Okay, mama, two blocks and back. I promise two blocks and back.
45 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know that we have that kind of time for the R. Kelly story, but we asked producer Dave, now that Mr. Kelly is giving interviews again, maybe we'd have a shot at getting him on the phone. And maybe we can ask some of our own questions. Hi, R. Kelly. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you today? I hope you're good. I'm feeling good. I'm really good.
We're good.
Are you good?
We're
That's
good.
Good. We're both good.
Right.
You're good.
We're good.
I'm good.
And you're good,
we're
right?
All good.
All of us are good.
I'm feeling good.
Okay.
That you're feeling good.
Good. Okay.
Same. Fantastic.
All right. So why now, R. Kelly? Why are you breaking the silence and consenting to doing interviews without the restrictions after you've been opposed to it for so long?
Well, when I was 3 years old, I grew up poor with a single mother on the south side of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Construction started on a building a few miles away in the center of town, in the center of town.
Right, but the question was...
It was to be called the Sears Tower, but at the time, we didn't know what the name was going to be, so we just called it the Tower.
Right,
okay.
And we may have gone back too far.
Years, it would be the tallest building in the world.
Right,
the
right.
The Tower.
I think Bean
the
asked...
The Tower. Which was actually renamed the Willis Tower in 2009.
Okay.
Although many Chicagoans, including myself, still refer to it by its original name. And I would go to that tower, and I'd say, look at that tower. It's
right.
So tall. It's a big, tall tower.
Right, okay.
The Sears Tower. Or the Willis Tower, depending on which one you want to use.
Okay, well, we're off topic.
It's a tower that was tall. It was so tall, I would look up at it and say, wow.
Okay.
That's a tall building.
All right. Okay.
And
we're
it's really big, and I want to be big someday. So now I'm big, like the Sears Tower.
Right. Okay.
Or the
so
Willis Tower, as I mentioned, it was renamed in 2009.
Right.
Although, did I mention many Chicagoans still call it
still
by
refer
its original
to it as the
name.
Sears Tower. Right. Right. Okay. Listen, it looks like we're only
have
time
good.
For maybe one,
Bean, make
one
it good.
More question. Okay. What's with all the peeing on the girls?
When I was a kid, I couldn't read like the other kids. Other kids could read, other kids could write, other kids could spell, other kids could do math. And I couldn't. So I felt bad about myself. I felt really bad. I felt so bad I had to pee on somebody. Make me feel better. Peeing.
Right.
Where are you, Chuck?
Okay.
I want to pee on Chuck.
Okay.
Hey, Chuck.
Look, we got to go.
Pee on you.
All right.
Off the Sears Tower. Or the Willis Tower, whatever you want to call it.
We're not going back to the Sears Tower.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Finally, Friday morning. Rob is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of Friday, tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, if I can stay awake that long. We're doing Hollywood Babylon once again. Me and Kevin Smith take the stage and talk about all things entertainment news. And also, we'll be talking about our Sundance adventures. And it's going to be a good show tonight. So why don't you come on out if you got the time or the interest. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
But you're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong.
But bring a Sharpie, because if Ralph falls asleep, that's a great opportunity.
What, to draw a penis on my head?
Everything, yes.
That's not good.
Yeah.
You're being quite rude.
No, I'm not, Ashley. Is it Ashley? Is that her name?
That's right.
Yeah.
You sound so ignorant with your generalization.
Yeah.
All right. Take it easy.
Speaking of tickets to things, we're having another one of our special advanced screenings of a really cool movie, the K-Rock advanced screening of Hail Caesar.
Yay!
It's happening on Tuesday, February the 2nd at the Groves Pacific Theater. The movie doesn't come out in theaters until the 5th of February, but you'll see it first. Josh Brolin, George Clooney, Jonah Hill, Ralph Fiennes, Scarlett Johansson, and many more. All starring this funny, funny Coen Brothers film about a Hollywood fixer in the 1950s who has to work to keep all the studio stars in line and out of the press, and looks terrific. If you want to find out more, you can go to HailCaesarMovie.com. And if you'd like to go see the screening, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through get a pair of passes for the advanced screening of Hail Caesar. Classic rock took another hit this week. Passing of a legend. Jefferson Airplane co-founder, songwriter, singer, guitarist Paul Kantor has passed away. San Francisco Chronicle said he had multiple organ failures, septic shock, and a heart attack earlier this week. There was no way he was getting out of that alive. He was just 74 years old today. He, along with Marty Balin, put together Jefferson Airplane out of San Francisco. They were the first big band to hit out of San Francisco in the late 60s. And they struggled a little bit. The first album didn't do so well. And then they met a young lady named Grace Slick. And they brought her on board to be their lead singer. She brought a few songs with her when she joined the band. Oh, just White Rabbit and Somebody to Love. That's all. Those two. Here we go. To be realized, know the joy within you.
That's good stuff right there.
If you're making a movie about the 60s, you put one of these songs in, right? If you want to show, hey, okay, now we're in the 60s, you put that in the soundtrack.
I would think so, yeah.
And then you just have your camera move through a crowd of people in bell bottoms looking smelly. I'm in the 60s. You know it automatically. Very identifiable. Of course, Jefferson Airplane then became Jefferson Starship. And then Cantor left the band. It became just Starship. And then they start really cranking out the excellent music like We Built This City on Rock and Roll. But he was with the band off and on during its various reunion projects and things like that, but he has passed away. His daughter, by the way, is a former MTV VJ. Remember China Cantor?
I sure do. No.
You remember China Cantor? Mm-hmm.
She worked at K-Rock for a while, Kevin.
What the what?
Yeah, she was one of our part-time DJs for a while.
She was my best friend.
She was the daughter of Cantor and Grace Slick. They had a relationship in the early 70s. And that produced China Cantor. So, sad news that he's gone away, but what are you going to do, right?
It's been a tough month for classic rock,
it
Ralph.
It sure has. It's the beginning of the end. Speaking of music, this is kind of cool. Adele. Remember that video everybody was talking about where Adele was punking those Adele impersonators by pretending to audition as well? But she was in disguise.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was part of a BBC special called Adele in London. She did one also in the States called Adele in New York at the Radio City Music Hall. But the British one is going to be aired by BBC America here in the States on Valentine's Day, February the 14th. So if you're an Adele fan and you want to check that out, you can watch it then. Graham Norton is the host of the show, and by all accounts, it's pretty terrific.
A lot of Adele fans don't have plans on Valentine's Day anyway, so it's good time.
Oh, man. See, this is why we need Curvy Barbie, well, because you keep pushing these sexist, sizist agendas, and frankly, I, as a journalist, cannot stand for it.
You're not a journalist at all.
A lot of lonely ladies are into the Adele. That's all I'm suggesting.
If Allie was here right now, she'd be so upset with you.
But she's at home crying because she has no man and no children. She actually has the flu.
Or she's in Vegas. I heard today on the radio that she was in Vegas.
That guy thinks everybody's in Vegas, though. So,
today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Selleck is 71 years old today. That bastard. Oh, I hate him. No man should look like that at 71. Look, I got it when he was 35 or whatever. He was a dreamboat. Magnum P.I., yes, of course. We all wanted a piece of Magnum P.I. But he's 71 now. He should look rough.
He's relatively the same as 35.
He's preserved. He's just formaldehyde or something. He sleeps in formaldehyde. There's only one way to explain it. Something's horribly, horribly genetically wrong with that man. We need to run some tests. It's very frustrating.
Oprah Winfrey, 62. See, that's what you should look like at 62. Just look like a big bag of elbows.
Oprah.
Ed Burns is 48 years old today. Heather Graham is 46. Weren't they an item for a while there? That
I believe so.
And Heather Graham, I think they were. Sarah Gilbert is 41. Singer Adam Lambert is 34. As is rapper Riff Raff. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedian Hannibal Buress joins us next hour in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead, on Monday, the president will be here. Dana White from the UFC. Got an all-new Bachelor Report for you next Tuesday. Comedian Paul F. Tompkins on the show next week. And next week, we're going to be giving away tickets to something called the Bottle Rock Festival, too. So some good stuff still to come here at K-Rock.
Bean, I'm not sure that we want to follow up on all that stuff because I've been watching the Wendy Williams show. It's on in the afternoon. And sometimes I'm catching up on stuff from the night before or whatever, and I come across it, and I can't explain this show, but I will tell you that it takes about 1/100th of any preparation that we do for this show, anything, because basically it's her catchphrase and her audience, and it's been renewed through 2020. Yes. So this is Wendy Williams' audience every single day, about every 30 seconds.
The dance party. So, what is Wendy doing for all of this? Is it like an Ellen DeGeneres thing where she's dancing?
Not really, no.
What is she doing?
She's just sort of enjoying. I'm telling you, it's an amazing show. And I keep watching it going, when does the actual show kick in?
So she just stands up on stage while people applaud and dance.
Yes. Okay. She does have an official greeting, though. And she talks about that every day, at least 25 times.
I know that some of you are wondering, how you doing? How you doing is the official greeting of the Wendy Williams mess. You don't say it like Joey Tribbiani from Friends, how you doing? No. You say it like this, and I'm going to teach you, and then we're going to go to the Queen of Sheba. Look, you dim your eyes like this. And when you get to the end of doing, you spread your bottom lip. I'll do it once, and then go to my website, and you can take lessons. Okay, look.
Go to my website and take lessons on how to say it? Are you kidding me?
How you doing?
Wow. Yeah.
Uh-huh. How you doing?
And then occasionally she'll talk about things in the news, you know, pop culture and stuff like that. And she had a picture of Madonna and her son. And this is when her son posted something about loving her mom. And Wendy had sort of a bit of a breakdown.
Madonna posted a picture of her son Rocco boxing. And the caption was, "Mama said knock you out. # dis N-word." In other words, this N-word. Now, first of all, I want you to know that Rocco and his mother, Rocco's 13 years old, and Rocco is a real fan of his mother. And what I discovered this weekend is my son doesn't like me anymore.
Whoa.
You know how it is. I know what it is. I don't have my period.
What's happening? What's happening?
She's pouring out her heart to the audience, Bean.
She's not, this isn't a bit. She's not joking. She's legitimately upset.
Yes. Her kid doesn't like her anymore. By the way, she has a 13-year-old that this is on TV she's talking about.
Right. So her kid doesn't like it anymore, but what does that have to do with her being menopausal? I don't understand.
I don't either.
Her kid is complaining because his mother doesn't have a period anymore? I can't even follow this.
I don't know either, but I do know that I'm very happy about her son's name.
Kevin, you know, he's all into his father. You know how 13-year-olds are. I was the same way when I was 13, but it is breaking my heart. And he doesn't care about Wendy on TV. He doesn't care about any of that. It's just, she's lucky that he likes her.
Yeah. That'll cheer Wendy up.
What was the problem with her son? Why is
he doesn't
son down
like
on
her
his...
anymore?
But why?
I don't know, because she's Wendy Williams.
That. Okay, all right.
Put together a supercut.
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Como stop?
How you doing?
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 Como esta? How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Yeah. She does that all the time, Bean.
This is a show, by the way, that again, has been brought back for its 9th, 10th, and 11th seasons. It's one of the biggest hits on daytime TV.
South Park even mocked her, and she loved that.
Take a look at this. Look at this. I was on South Park. Woo!
Hi, everybody. I love you.
Thanks for loving me. I love you, too.
So I guess there's this new trend with young people where the celebrities they look up to most are YouTube commentators. Just ordinary people who sit in front of a mic and blab their opinions about everything while their mindless loyal followers cheer them on. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's hard to tell what's the real show and what's the South Park show.
Because the South Park show, the audience was clapping on at the end of that clip, and her audience live was clapping along with it.
So now you can't wait to get home to get Channel 13 on.
It drives me crazy. I have to see what's going on today because it's terrible. And not only does she have a catchphrase, but she has, you know, Jimmy Kimmel has, like, at Halloween, he'll have people send in videos that they ate their kids a candy and stuff like that. Well, Wendy Williams has, you know, viewers sending videos of kids doing, how you doing?
We've been asking you to send videos of your kids doing their best. How you doing? The official greeting of the Wendy Show.
How you doing?
Yeah!
Woo! I can't.
That is a show.
Not a show.
We need that crowd. I think that would help a lot. It's pretty quiet on our show. I think if we had that crowd, it would be pretty awesome.
Well, maybe so.
Because we say we'll take a break, and then we're going to come back with Hannibal Buress.
Let's make everything better.
Put you in a good mood, right? So I got that standing by. I just want you to know I got that standing by at any point. If we need it in our show, need to pump things up a little bit, I'm there for you.
How you doing?
Wendy Williams through 2020.
Want to see that band along with Panic at the Disco and Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness? You can August 6th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. We got tickets you can win just after 9 o'clock this morning, and you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to go see the band again in Amsterdam. That's in the Netherlands, don't you know?
Yes, it is.
Which is in Europe.
Yes, it is.
Is where we're sending you to go see Weezer.
That's happening.
I'm very, very excited about that game at 9 a.m. today, by the way. Do you remember what it is?
Game at 9 a.m.
No, for Weezer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were talking. Okay. I'm sorry. I was lost. Chip was writing me a note and I was lost. But
yes, very excited. It's gonna
be a
lot of fun.
Me too. All right. Anytime the King of Mexico is involved in anything, it goes well. That's what I know.
Speaking of Dave, I'm glad you're in here, Dave, because we have been talking quite a bit off the air about the announcement that came this week that Shaquille O'Neal is going to be the latest statue that is going to be unveiled in front of Staples Center. In fact, it was kind of a little bit of an emotional moment the way Shaq found out about it, because he didn't know he was getting a statue until he was sitting down with Jimmy Kimmel a couple of nights ago on TV.
If I'm that good and they invite me or they say I'm good enough to be in the Hall of Fame, I'll probably go in as a Laker.
Now, the Lakers have another thing. This would have been awkward if that had been a different answer.
Outside the Staples Center, there are statues. You can see they got Jerry West, Magic, Kareem. You see what this is right now, what I'm showing you?
Yes.
This is, and you don't know about this, this is a surprise to you. The Lakers asked me to mention it. This is the statue of you there putting up at the Staples Center. Seriously, I swear to God. It's not a fight. I swear to God.
I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid. Believe me.
This is for real. I'm not kidding at all. That is an artist rendering of the statue that is going to go up of you outside the Staples Center.
Yes, Pete.
Would you believe anything
Jimmy Kimmel told you on television if you were a celebrity?
That's the first thing I thought was, that's the wrong guy to deliver the news.
Yes.
Because part of you goes, all right, this is a prank. It's not going to happen. My initial response was, really? As a longtime Laker fan, it struck me as a little weird.
But Shaq brought you so much joy as a Laker fan.
Yes, he did.
He was some of your favorite years as a Laker fan because they actually won titles with him.
It was both. He won three championships, which was awesome. But he also couldn't shoot free throws. And you know how that drives me crazy. Right. They used to hack a Shaq every game. He used to drive me crazy. But it was just, I don't know. It felt like he's a player that has played in a lot of cities for a lot of different teams. I don't really think of him necessarily as a Laker.
That's interesting.
I mean, I know he was.
Right.
Spent
right.
8 years with the Lakers.
8 years. I didn't realize it was 8 years. I thought it was like five or six, but 8 years.
Did he spend more time, Dave, with the Lakers than any other club?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. First it was Orlando, then Lakers, and then they think they traded him to Cleveland.
He was in Cleveland for a while.
Then to Phoenix, and then to Boston.
But let me ask you this. There's a question, and this is what I think is interesting once you start going crazy for putting statues up. And my fear, by the way, and I told you this off the air, is they're starting to now announce so many statues that I think it's going to be tough to get inside Staples Center. I think you're really going to have to...
Really? They're going to block the entrance?
Well, it's starting to look like you're going to have to crawl down underneath these statues in order to get past them all. There's going to be so many. But who is considered a significant... player for the Lakers, and who is somebody who is statue worthy to be out there for all time? I mean, would Shaq have been the next guy on that list that you would have chosen to get that honor at Staples Center?
I don't know why. I'll give you two answers. One is, I don't know why, but my answer is no. I wouldn't have thought of him. Having said that, looking at everything and all the information and how many years he played in the championships, I would say yes. But my first reaction just was, that's weird. I don't really necessarily. He doesn't say Lakers to me because he was with so many other teams.
Who else were like Pau Gasol? Does he get a statue?
Yeah.
He was on the team for years and won championships.
No, not at all. No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know the criteria for getting a statue, but I wouldn't give one to Pau Gasol. No.
I know who gets one next. Vlade Divac.
Oh, don't even get me started.
It's him on the floor. Listen, hey, if it wasn't for Vlade, Kobe Bryant, if no Vlade. He got traded for Kobe.
Yeah, that's true.
Boom.
Change of league. Vlade used to smoke on the court. That's what I liked about him. And he was the world.
I love the idea of him having a statue laying down though.
Right, laying down
would be awesome.
Yeah. But smoking.
By the way,
life secret.
I think it'd be interesting, and we do have time if you'd like to weigh in on this. If you've got some thoughts on either Shaq getting a statue, yay or nay, or if you like, who would you choose to put up as the next statue at Staples Center? And I think it's interesting, by the way, you can give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. I mean, those statues, Dave, and you know more about them than I do, they don't really have anything to do with Staples Center. Like Magic Johnson never played at Staples Center, but he's got a statue, right? It's just about the teams
that
play in that
building.
You know what's funny is Shaq is the first player to get, you know, a statue that actually played in Staples Center.
Yeah, but that makes sense because it's the only place that the Lakers play now. So if it's a Laker member, it only makes sense.
That's where they are.
But they
also 1-800-520-1067 if you've got thoughts on Shaq getting a statue, especially if you're against it, and also who you think should be next. What do you think of the job they're doing selecting statues for out front of Staples Center?
They have Gretzky, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They have Luke Robitaille.
Now let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
Gretzky put hockey on the map in Southern California.
Yes.
A lot of people laughed when Wayne Gretzky went to Los Angeles. They're like, why? But he turned hockey into a thing. I know the Kings have been around for a long time, but he turned them into a thing and made them a successful franchise.
Yes.
Right. But he's certainly not a king. When he dies and goes to heaven, he's sitting in Edmonton's section. Let's be honest.
Edmonton doesn't have a section in heaven,
first of all. However it works.
Los Angeles, Edmonton.
But you were talking about how you don't necessarily first and foremost think of Shaq as a Laker because he flitted around on so many different teams. You think of him as a Cav. You think of him as a Magic. But Wayne Gretzky, don't you think of – you have to think of him as an Oiler.
No.
Really? That was his greatest success.
Well, I'll tell you – Two things. One is, I understand what you're saying, and you're probably right, but I don't think of him as
maybe
an Oiler.
Success, but not as impact.
I think of his impact in Southern California for the Los Angeles Kings was astronomical, and he deserves a statue. But
I would say
he's a guy who is
he transcends the sport by yeah. miles. It's, and Shaq isn't necessarily yeah. that person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't that important.
Like, to you, Shaq is very good. Gretzky is great.
Yes.
Shaq is very good. Magic Johnson is great.
Yes.
Luke Robitaille, great.
Great, yes.
Legend.
Yes. But
and
having said
and you
that...
You don't ding him for winning a Stanley Cup with Detroit either.
Oh, I do, personally, yeah. I give him a hard time about that a lot. No, but I mean, it just... And Oscar De La Hoya is up there as well.
Which I don't get, but it's okay.
So, but I don't know how you decide. I mean, I guess it does make sense... When I think about it again, it makes sense for Shaq. Okay. He won three championships. That's something. Yeah. Mm. And then, so you got him, and then you should have, like, Blake Griffin with a cast.
Hey.
That should be put there, right?
Dave, what was the thinking behind Oscar De La Hoya?
Well,
what's the connection with Staples Center?
It's just his hometown arena. You know, it's like he fought there, I think, a couple of times. But it was – I don't get it. I honestly don't get his – statue there
because it's not like a franchise associated with
yeah
that
it's not like he won many championships there,
like put you know, one like, out in front of the Olympic Auditorium or something.
Yeah, I mean, well, now it's a Korean church, but you know, so that would look weird. But
all right, let's take this is interesting. Let's take Tom and Upland. He's on line five. While we're talking about how they're deciding who gets statues and who should be next, Tom brings up a name.
Hey Tom.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I think that, you know, good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Vic.
Hi, Tom.
I do believe that always underrated in the Lakers organization has been Derek Fisher. And if I'm not mistaken, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he has as many championship rings with the Lakers as Kobe does.
Yeah, but he
hear you. I completely hear you, and I think he's underrated and always has been. But
what's the criteria for a statue?
Look, Robert Horry was a bigger Laker than Derek Fisher. You know,
Robert Horry has a pretty sweet. I mean, he had that sweet three pointer too. That one that
he did have that one shot.
Yeah,
and Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher had a lot of those shots.
Exactly, and I think.
But would you put up a statue of Derek Fisher? Because I like him, and I think he's a great Laker, and I think of him as a Laker always. I don't know that I would put a statue up of him.
To me, he embodies teamwork. He embodies passion.
Agreed.
And more so than most players I've seen on that team.
And loyalty.
So Tom, exactly. how many statues are we going to allow out there at Staples Center? Are there going to be 40? Are there going to be 80? I mean, how many statues do you want? It's going to look like an invading army at one point.
Yeah, you should just build your own stadium for statues across the street. Why not?
All right, good.
All right, sir. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Wow, we've got some very interesting suggestions on who people would like to see get a statue, and some who say before Shaq gets a statue, my player deserves a statue. We'll take your calls next right after this on K-Rock. Hannibal Buress, next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're talking about the latest statue to be announced outside Staples Center will be future Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal. By the way, he doesn't get dinged at all for the rap albums and for the movies and stuff. I mean, they still let him. They must have considered that when they decided the statue, right?
Look, I like what Kelly has to say on this particular topic, and I do believe that I've changed my mind from my initial stance, which is really, really. Kelly, hi.
Hi.
Hi. What's your opinion on this?
I think all of the players that have statues out there. Besides the boxers, of course, all of their jerseys have been retired. They're all up in the rafters.
So if you have a retired jersey, then that would make you eligible. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Hmm. So
Vlade Divac, for example, no retired
no
jersey.
No Vlade?
Nope.
Get that guy.
So he's out.
All right, so the Taylor Swift statue's coming out, right?
That's my fear. No Taylor Swift statue. If that happens, holy hell's going to come down.
Thank you for the call, Kelly. Dave, recap for us. Who has a statue out in front of Staples Center right now?
All right. We have Wayne Gretzky, Magic Johnson, Oscar De La Hoya, Chick Hearn, Jerry West, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Luke Robitaille.
Okay. So, wow, that's a lot of them. Yeah. All right. Let's try Chris Anaheim, line six, please. Up next on the Kevin Beach Show, 1-800-520-1067. You're in charge of statues. Who gets them? Who doesn't get them? Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. I think James Worthy should be the next person.
Ooh.
Now, is he retired? Do you guys know? Is his
oh,
jersey?
Retired.
Yeah, he's retired.
His nickname's Big Game. It is Worthy.
Big Game James, yeah, and he still does commentary for the team as well.
I think I would put him up there as well. Yeah,
how many statues do you guys want?
Well, that's a pretty big area, Bean. I don't think we're in...
Listen, if you're going to go that route, just put the whole Showtime Lakers out in front.
I'm good with that.
Instead of those posts that instead of the posts that block Chick Hearn, they should just be all statues of the Lakers starting five. Just come up and down.
I like it. I like a changing system where some of them show up and then they go away. I like it. That's a good
idea. Thank you for the call, Chris. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joel, line 7 in Artesia. By the way, Dave, no Clippers statues have been suggested at all. Is that? Are you cool with that?
I'm cool with that right now. You know,
nobody deserves one.
Not yet. Not until we win one.
Yeah, I don't think
so
either.
Not until we win one.
I don't think so either. But I think there will be a time.
Yeah, hopefully Blake and his broken hand will take us. Will lead us to the promised land, and then you know
that's going to do nothing but help him shoot. Joel, hi.
Yeah, Jerry Buss.
Jerry Buss?
Yes.
What about him?
Yes. He definitely deserves one.
He's the Lakers. That's why. He's the one who took him to Staples Center.
Not only took him to Staples Center, he brought, you know, when he bought him from the previous owner, he turned the Lakers into what they are now. And he is probably the best owner ever in the NBA.
Ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Ever.
Second is Donald Sterling, but third is Jerry Buss.
Should
Jerry
Donald
Buss.
Sterling have one?
No.
No.
And he partied and had chicks, you know, played poker. Yeah, he was cool.
He partied and had chicks.
That should be his statue. Him and chicks. Just like, yeah, what up?
All right, let's get one more because this is questionable. Sam in Porter Ranch. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Statues outside Staples.
So I like the Derek Fisher idea.
You do?
I like
nope.
The James Worthy idea.
Okay, good.
Obviously, Kobe's going to get one. That's not arguable.
Yeah, right underneath Shaq, right?
I would agree.
Check this out. Phil Jackson.
Ooh. All right. Now, see, that's a good question because Phil Jackson, did he win more championships in Chicago than here?
He did.
Yes.
No, he won five.
I'm sorry, what?
I thought he won six in Chicago and four in L.A. is what I think
because they had two three-peats. Yeah.
I think it was
six. He coached the Lakers two more years than he coached the Bulls, though.
Right. I don't know. That, to me, then, again, is not a slam dunk on that one. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time, took the team to the championship. Yes, yes. But I sort of think of him as a Bulls-Laker guy.
That's an argument, yeah. I can see that.
He did have a cool mustache, though.
Okay, so he's in.
Yeah.
All right, it's a good point.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. All right, let's try Evan, Long Beach, line 3. As we're populating the statues out in front of Staples Center, here's a name nobody's mentioned. Evan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on the air.
Yeah, if you're talking about the impact of L.A. Basketball, you can even throw in the mix Lisa Leslie Sparks.
Lisa Leslie?
Yeah, I mean, she grew up in Gardena. I mean, I had to look that up on Wikipedia. she won championships with the Sparks. I mean, never had a woman, monument there in front of Staples Center.
How many titles did the Sparks win with Lisa Leslie?
I think two, it said on Wikipedia.
Okay, all right. I guess it depends on what your criteria is. I mean, somebody in the organization who played for championships and represented the city well, I guess so. I because the WNBA is not very popular, I don't think there'd be a lot of support for that idea. But I wouldn't be surprised to see something like
that happen. I think maybe something inside, because she was an Olympian and won a bunch of gold medals and stuff like that. Maybe something inside is nice, like, you know, her jersey. But not a statue.
I wouldn't mind a statue outside. That makes sense. I wouldn't mind that.
All right, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Hadn't thought of that. All right, let's go to Daniel. He's got an interesting idea on line 6. He's don't know where he's from, but he's calling us on the 10 freeway today, hopefully safely. Daniel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You got some ideas for us.
Hey, good morning, Petrols and Money.
and to you as well.
That's actually a compliment, so thank you.
What I was thinking is an honor to the great announcers, and since Oscar's there and he wasn't really part of an LA team, but Vin Scully and Bob Miller to join Chick Hearn.
All right.
Bob Miller 1,000%.
Absolutely. And by the way, thank you for bringing up his name because I meant to mention this yesterday and it got away from me.
Get well soon, Bob. Bob is taking some time out of the booth right now. He's having some heart surgery right now, and they think he's going to be okay, but obviously we got our fingers crossed. He is a local broadcasting legend, and we want him back, and we want him back soon. So go, Bob. I think that's a great idea. How long's he been announcing the Kings? Forever, right?
Forever. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's a slam dunk. That's a given.
Now, does
Vince
Scully,
though.
Does it make sense to you, Dave, to bring Vin into that part of town?
Do they have this kind of thing at Dodger Stadium?
No. But the Dodgers have talked about putting up a statue at Dodger Stadium, but Vin
and they're
Scully
talking about renaming a street out in front of
the Dodgers.
Vin Scully doesn't want it.
Said no.
He said no.
That's right.
He said no. So I think they're going to wait until he moves on to another.
They're going to wait until he moves on
occupation in life.
I wouldn't have any trouble having Vin's statue down there, even though Dodger Stadium makes a lot more sense, just because that is kind of the hub of sports stuff in Southern California,
yeah,
and he is that.
It's sort of L.A. sports.
Vin
right. Scully, of course, is another shoe-in for wherever,
but not
wherever
Staples
they put
Center.
It.
I mean, really,
it's just too weird for you, Dave, to have it
just
down there?
Nothing to do with I'd rather have it at Dodger Stadium.
All right.
What
thank
if
you
they
very
play
much for the
baseball
call,
game inside Staples Center? Then what?
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, not you.
We are not going to have time for Dennis Rodman. I'm sorry to say, Tony, but great call. But let's go to Tim in Castaic, and let's all go out on a big laugh, shall we? He's on line 7.
All right. Line 7.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Good. Thank you.
Hello?
Yeah. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning, guys.
Hi. What's your suggestion?
Well, since they seem to be giving out statues to just about anybody, how about they give one out to Paula Abdul? Isn't she a Laker girl starting out over there at the Staples Center?
There you go. Boom.
Paula Abdul. Because you're saying Paula Abdul.
Straight up.
Straight up.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52. Ralph, how excited should we be about Grease Live on Sunday night? I'm seeing the commercials, and I feel like I want to watch it.
It's Grease Live! Hey, Bean, why do you have to ask anyone that? If it looks like you want to watch it, watch it.
Well,
they
I thought Ralph
made... Oh, yeah. Grease Lightning, go Grease Lightning.
I'm not sure you're helping him.
Oh.
Ralph, I love that song. That made me want to watch it. I just thought maybe Ralph maybe knew more about it than I do or has heard whether it's supposed to be good.
Here's my whole thing on Grease Live.
Yes.
Grease, the musical.
Yes.
The
mm-hmm.
film.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack. The
right.
music.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Almost impossible to screw up.
All pretty good, right?
It is such
okay.
a fun show filled with such joy and up-tempo and exciting numbers. And these people that they've cast are all accomplished singers and dancers. I mean, I can't see how this can't be a fun couple hours regardless of, you know, where it falls on the grand scheme of things versus the Broadway cast and the original the film with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. Those are things that we all have very fond memories of, and it's going to be hard to best those. But I think at the same time, it's Grease, man. How can you not love, you know, Beauty School Dropout and Greased Lightning and Summer Nights and all the songs they're going to do? They're just fun as F.
Now, Bean, you say it looks good to you and you want to watch it. Does that translate into you sitting down and watching it?
I think I might check it out. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Will you watch it live is the question.
Ooh. Probably so. I think that is the fun of those live events that they do is to see it live. Cause, you
I
know,
thought
we all...
that too until I watched a couple of them live and nothing happened that wouldn't have happened if they had filmed it.
They're fairly well rehearsed, huh?
And I was like, well, if you watch them live, you want the unexpected, right? You want to say, oh, maybe someone's going to break a leg or, you know, say the F word at the top of their lungs
or something.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
It never happens.
Okay.
So I think you're really missing anything if you don't watch it live. I probably too will watch it live, but.
I'll check it out. How about you, Kevin? Are you in?
Nope.
Come on, Kevin.
No interest.
You don't like Grease?
Yeah, I like it.
Well, then why wouldn't you watch it if you like it?
Other stuff, other things to do. I like it. I mean, I don't hate it at all. I like it. I liked it. I don't.
You have
need
a drone
to
tournament you have to get
Maybe.
To.
Maybe I do. How do you know, man?
You have a knee scraping competition that you have to enter into at some point.
That's a competition.
Well, it is for you. Every week you come in with a new scraped knee.
No, I'm just saying.
You're 8-year-old on the playground.
I'm just saying enjoy. Have a great time.
You don't get it, man.
I might not. It's all right.
Your story's sad to tell. A teenage ne'er-do-well. Most mixed up non-delinquent on the block.
Your future's so unclear now. What's left of your career now? Can't even get a trade in on your smile.
Yay!
Beauty school dropout. No graduation day for you.
He's
beauty
ready.
School dropout.
Yeah, I feel like
missed your midterms and flunk right. shampoo.
Right.
Come on, beauty school dropout.
Right.
Wow,
that I would watch.
That's not the version.
I would watch that in
live.
1 second.
And speaking of beauty school dropout, Bean, you would probably know. I'm going to ask you a question now. I can't remember, but don't they have some boy band or something coming up to do that number? Isn't it like
yes,
Boys to Men?
Boys to Men.
Boys to Men, yeah. That'll be pretty cool.
Could be, yeah.
And I love it. It's at least true to the 50s, because you know how all the black kids and white kids used to hang out in the 50s?
Sure.
So yeah. That'll be cool.
Well, that was the golden age of American desegregation.
It was. It's great. In the cast, they'd be like Kiki Palmer and Vanessa Hudgens. Like, it's like a totally mixed racial cast. Like, this is exactly like the real 50s because of all the racial harmony.
Those were the good old days.
Those were the good old days.
Right?
Yeah. Then the 60s happened and we got all racist. But in the 50s, everybody loved one another.
Sure.
All right. Enough talking about that nonsense.
Finally.
Let's talk about something important. Like the new Acura commercial, it's going to be at the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 50.
Okay.
Acura is going to have a commercial.
All right. Do we have more information than that?
Yes. The reason I'm excited, because the song that they'll be using, that you got permission to use, the classic Van Halen tune, Running with the Devil. Come on.
Good stuff.
I can't wait to see this commercial.
Do you like Satan? Buy an Acura. Then you'll be running with the devil. You, Satan is your co-pilot in an Acura. Drive to your next human sacrifice in the beautiful 2016 Acura Horn.
Or whatever they're calling it.
The Acura Demon.
Not sure why Running with the Devil is their choice for song, but
I'm not either.
Sure either.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's the only Van Halen, though, is the David Lee Roth Van Halen.
Word.
Agreed.
House Cards has been renewed for a fifth season. I'm really enjoying the fourth season. Oh, wait a minute. It hasn't begun yet.
Yeah, I was confused by that.
That's how much they love House of Cards over at Netflix. Even before season four has begun, they've already given a green light for a fifth season. House of Cards was, of course, nominated for an Emmy as Outstanding Drama Series its first two seasons. And Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright have each won Golden Globes for their work on the show. Season 4 does begin streaming on Friday, March the 4th, but you'll be happy to know as you're watching, there's more to come. And speaking of Netflix, good news. Very exciting news. They announced they're going to be airing Stretch Armstrong, the series. Is the thing on?
Yeah.
Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong. Stretch Armstrong.
TV series.
The TV series, right. From the
60s. You remember 60s. Stretch Armstrong?
From the 70s.
You know who Stretch Armstrong is?
Not even a little bit.
Come on.
I imagine he stretches.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, see?
Stretch Armstrong wasn't even a comic book or a movie or a TV show. Stretch Armstrong was a toy.
Oh.
In the 1970s, it was a toy bodybuilder. He's just like, just looked like that. But his body was filled with goo.
Okay.
And his skin was latex. So you could stretch him.
Right.
And that was the entire toy.
Okay.
You would hand one of his arms to your friend, and you would pull, and they would pull, and you could stretch him. And he was Stretch Armstrong. And that's going to be a TV series.
Are they going to make him a hero fighting crime?
The premise will be a teenager named Jake Armstrong. And his two best buddies are accidentally exposed to an experimental chemical, which gives them super stretchy powers.
Now, forgive me if this is a dumb question, Ralph, but he is different from Plastic Man and different from Elastic Man, or are they all essentially the same thing?
Nope. First of all, there is no Elastic Man, okay?
Oh, there's not?
So
who's the guy in the Fantastic Four?
Sit down! Mr. Fantastic?
He's a stretchy guy, right?
But, you know, Elastic Man?
Yeah, he's a stretchy guy.
There's no Elastic Man. There's Plastic Man.
Now, what does he do?
And there's Elastic Lad.
Okay,
but there's no Elastic Man. Bean, come on.
Come on, Bean. Get it together.
Forget you.
I can't keep them all straight.
There was the elongated man. So you may be thinking of the elongated man, Elastic Lad, Plastic Man, and Mr. Fantastic.
That's all BS right there. I'm on Bean's side. I don't blame him at all for
they
this.
They were all stretchy superheroes.
Right.
And now we can add to the mix Stretch Armstrong.
Now he's the all-American boy?
No.
Sit down.
Sit down. That was Jack Armstrong.
Jack Armstrong. Okay, gotcha. This guy walked on the moon, though.
Oh, man. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Riff Raff is 34 years old today. Pop singer Adam Lambert turns 34. Sarah Gilbert, 41 years old. Heather Graham turns 46. Edward Burns is 48 years old. TV talk show hostess and owner of her own network. See what I did there? Her own network?
Yeah.
OWN?
Right.
Oprah Winfrey?
Yes.
Chip's flipping me off.
She should be.
She's 62, and actor Tom Selleck is 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, if there's one thing I know about you, it's that you could not wait to get home yesterday and sit in front of TV and turn on your Fox News and just get set for a delightful evening, the GOP debate. Am I right about that?
I watch the news because I'm a kid.
It was a...
No, I couldn't be less interested.
I think it was the seventh Republican debate, and for folks who missed it, the short version is Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton bad, Jesus good. That's the takeaway that I got for watching the debate last night. But this one was a little bit different because the front runner, Donald Trump, boycotted the debate. He didn't want to be there because he didn't want to face his ultimate foe, Megyn Kelly from Fox News.
Now, why is she his ultimate foe? I know that one question at that one debate. Is that all there is?
Yes, okay. That's all there is. Huh. Yeah, basically, he is holding a grudge. And a lot of his competitors and, you know, people in the news have been saying, hey, look, you want to be president? Well, maybe we'll ask Donald Trump about that, the question that was going around all day yesterday. Let's get into another Kevin and Bean Trump date, shall we?
He's the guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump date.
Sit down. Sit down, indeed. The next president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Mr. Trump, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we're fine.
What?
You're welcome.
We're welcome.
I'm on your show.
Right.
That's going to be big ratings for you.
Right.
Because
ratings,
that's what
right.
I do. Wherever I go, huge ratings.
Right. You are a ratings
people
machine.
People love me.
Right.
And I can do no wrong.
Right.
And people
right.
want to vote for me,
mm-hmm.
and they love everything that I do.
Right.
And that's
right.
because I'm going to make America great again.
Great again. Right. Now, speaking of you can do no wrong, you did say since we last had you on, Mr. Trump, that you literally could step out onto Fifth Avenue and shoot someone in the face with a gun, and your supporters would not abandon you.
I wouldn't lose a vote. Not one. I could shoot somebody in the face. And still win the election. Because that's how great my supporters are.
You should try that.
Don't think I haven't.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, I have murdered several people.
Really?
Whoa,
I'm not afraid
wow.
to say it.
What?
Because I'm not going to lose any votes.
I see.
Right.
People
that's how much
love
people
me,
love you.
Love me.
Love
yeah.
All right. So what about the suggestion on the stage and off last night that how can you be strong enough to be president and beat ISIS, yet you run like a little girl with your tail between your legs so
sit
that you
down.
Don't have to take tough questions
sit
from Megyn Kelly?
Sit down. I didn't call on you. Sit down.
Well,
we
it's just a question.
You, so.
I don't run from anyone. I'm not afraid of Megyn Kelly.
All right.
But here's the thing. I had something else to do.
But you didn't.
I had a rally that raised nearly $6 million for veterans in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I shot them all. And it doesn't matter, because people still love me, even though I shoot veterans.
Now, wasn't that just thrown together so you had something to do since you were boycotting the debate?
Sit down. I didn't call on you.
Okay.
Go back to Univision.
That's not where we were.
Doesn't work for Univision. But Kevin's right. You had the night of the debate. You were going to do the debate. Then you pulled out of the debate and created another event to do instead. You just didn't want to be in the same room as Megyn Kelly. Why not?
Megyn Kelly is bad at her job. That's why I didn't want to be part of it.
So what?
Because I don't surround myself with people who are bad at their jobs.
She's just asking questions.
People who are good at their jobs.
She
like
did
me.
A nice
I am one of the most successful businessmen in the history of this country.
We've heard.
And Megyn Kelly, first of all, she smells like onions. I don't know if you've ever been
what
around
are you
her.
Talking about?
She does.
Brutal,
she looks like a delightful young lady.
She has a body odor
that's ridiculous.
That will make wallpaper peel off the walls.
That's
it
not
rolls
true.
Up.
That's
it does. If she walks through a room, paint gets peeled by horrendous
all right.
BO.
Donald,
I don't
that's
know where
the...
it comes from. somewhere. She smells from somewhere. I don't want to say where.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, man.
She looks very clean, and she's a very bright woman, and she asked good questions.
Maybe it's her false teeth that smell.
She doesn't
have
false teeth.
Maybe it's that one leg of hers that is gangrene, that's gangrenous. I don't know.
None of that. None of that is true.
She doesn't have gangrene.
She has an infected wound.
That's not true.
That simply will not close up.
It just isn't true.
It's a making things up. Pussy wound.
Okay. All right.
By the way, I saw Seeping Pussy Wound of the Troubadour.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands. They're amazing.
You have to check them out.
So last night, Ted Cruz gets on the stage.
He's so incredibly ugly, Ted Cruz. Am I right?
Well, that's not the point. That's not the point.
He's got a face like a pelican.
Okay, so he gets on the stage and he says,
"In that face, he should be feeding him fish. He should be diving for fish off a pier and the bay that's backed up that smells like Megyn Kelly."
Wow! Why are you insulting somebody just based on their look? Can it be about the issues, Mr. Trump?
Yes, and the issue is he is deeply, deeply ugly.
Okay. So, pelican face, Ted Cruz gets up and he says, "I'm a maniac. Everyone on this stage is stupid, fat, and ugly. And Ben, you're a terrible surgeon." Now that we've gotten the Donald Trump portion out of the way, so he was kind of making fun of the fact that you get on stage and insult everybody.
See what he did? He wants to be like me. I don't blame him. I would like to be like me, too, if I wasn't me. But I am me, and that's why I'm great. And he's a pelican face.
Now, you skip the debate, and that isn't going to hurt you. Not even
not
a little bit.
Oh, sit down.
You might be getting more talk today because you skipped the debate.
Exactly. I know what I'm doing. People talk about me more because I'm not at the debate. Because everybody wants to know where I'm going, what I'm doing, who I'm doing it with. Because that's me. I'm fascinating, and people love me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're just a few days away now from the Iowa caucus in New Hampshire right after that, and you look like you're in a pretty good position to start to start a snowball rolling here.
Jeb Bush looks like a bag of marshmallows.
Okay.
That has been spray tanned. Right? Who's with me?
Well, I mean, he's fine. He looks like a regular person. He's fine.
Marco Rubio looks like the kind of guy who would try to sell you a used Hyundai filled with fish that smelled like Megyn Kelly.
Okay. Okay. All right.
All right.
We're all ugly, smelly people.
Understood.
You're the
only
one. I don't smell. That's my new
you're
motto.
Clean. That's a great slogan. That's a great slogan.
Smell my pits. Try it. You'll be.
How do we smell your pits?
You'll be glad you did.
I don't think so. He's a guy you love to hate. That was the topic. Sit down. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 8. If you see Hannibal Buress, let him through. He's in traffic. He's making his way down here. Earlier this week, we talked to one of our favorite people in the world, Rob Corddry.
All right, man. It's always great talking to you guys. Thank you so much for talking to me today. Bye-bye.
He's the best, isn't he?
What do you think the chances are he said hello to The Rock for us? People always say hi to fill in the blank. Do you think they ever do?
I would assume not.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like a mean thing. I just is like, all right, yeah, great. But when he gets back with The Rock, he's probably not thinking, hey, Kevin and Bean want me to say hi.
Probably not. All right. Here's the deal. We're going to peel back the curtain and let you know behind the scenes what's going on is we fully expected to have Mr. Hannibal Buress here by now. We're very excited about his arrival. He should be here any second, but in case he's not, we will have time to squeeze in a few phone calls before he gets here. So we thought it might be a good time to do Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
1-800-520-1067. What are we not talking about on the program that we need to be talking about, or what is Bean wrong about? I think those
How
two things,
dare you?
Just in general, I'm just throwing that out in general.
If you have something awesome going on for the weekend that you want to brag about, or you've got a question or comment about the show, that's fine too. Anything on your mind, we'll take some phone calls before Hannibal Buress gets here. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls on Kevin and Bean's What's Good coming up right after this. Look who is back. One of our favorite comedians and actors, Hannibal Buress, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The brand new comedy special on Netflix debuts a week from Friday, February 5th. It is called Hannibal Buress Comedy Camisado.
Hey.
I don't hablo the Espanol, Hannibal. What's that all about, the comedy camisado?
Camisado means a military attack that occurs at night. Yeah, that's all.
And that's you, man.
Nothing funny about it. It's just a military attack that happens at night.
Well, congratulations on the new comedy special coming
to
Netflix.
Thank you.
And by the way, you put your previous specials up on Netflix, too, so there's lots of Hannibal on the Netflix right now.
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
We learned a lot watching this special that
did?
We didn't know. Yeah.
Like what?
Things we didn't know. Like you can fly without a license.
You can fly without a license.
I was like, is this a setup for a joke or what?
No, you can fly without, which would be, it makes sense that you can fly domestically without a license. Because if you showed up without a license and they said, oh, you don't have a license, I'm sorry. I guess you live in Dallas now. That would be weird.
Right, but well, don't they just say, go get your license and bring it back?
No, they don't. They if you go. Don't have it, then what can they do? They're going to just, they have to let you go. They just treat you horribly.
Okay.
They treat you like you lost your ID.
How many, like they should, how many times have you done that?
A couple, it was about 3-4 times because I couldn't get back home. I had lost it, but I still had a few tour dates and filming. Yeah.
So each city you went to, you had to go through the same thing.
Where is it? Did you look here? Did you look there? It's like, stop talking to me like that. I don't have it. Is it at the hotel? No, it's not at the hotel. This is where, I don't know. Just let me through. Here's other stuff. Here's my, I don't know. I'm not messing with you. I just really need to get to this other place.
Does it help that you are a celebrity? Like, if I tried it, would I be able to do it?
It varies. Sometimes it's very. I have weird fame.
Okay,
but I'm not all over famous.
Right, mm-hmm. But the people like you love you. I imagine.
If I go in a Cracker Barrel,
right,
I'm not famous.
Okay,
but if I go in an Urban Outfitters, I'm famous. That's the type of famous I am. You get what I'm saying?
Oh yes.
Yeah. It's certain places that I go to. Where things is not, but it's not evergreen.
Not everywhere.
It's not evergreen. It's very specific, and it keeps me humble.
Do you, I was going to ask, do you like it that way?
I do like it that way.
It seems like about the right mix.
It's jarring, though. It's jarring to, you know, sometimes where it's just really quiet, and I'm fine, and things, and then all of a sudden, it's, Hannibal! And I don't like when people yell at me. I tell people, quiet down. When people yell at me, I say, don't stop yelling at me. Stop yelling. Why are you screaming at me?
Why are you screaming my name? That is
stop screaming. Just keep it down. You know, I don't scream, so don't scream at me.
Hannibal, a lot of people are attracted to famous people, but yeah. I'm just wondering if it works in your favor to be a comedian when it comes to the ladies. Is comedy something that attracts the ladies to you as well?
Definitely.
It is, yes.
But this is what happens. Sometimes they try to be funny around me.
Oh no!
Like, or it was just fine, but they'll go too far, or they'll try to make it. It gets weird. Where it's just like, you don't have to do that. Just relax, relax. Everything's fine. Like, don't. And people in general will try to, like, because comedy is the only job, or one of the few jobs where people try to do it back to you.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right. Yeah, where they just, it's just, hey, don't, you don't have to tell me.
Because you might like me better if you find me funny.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
I've become more honest just in my dealings with people, with strangers. Sometimes. I was at a bar, I was with some people, and this girl comes up, hey, what's up, Ryan? Nice to meet you, and love your stuff. She said, you want to hear a joke? And I said, no. No, I don't want to hear a joke.
I'll bet she started the joke, though.
She did not.
She did not. She did not. Wow, that worked.
Because I think she knew that I didn't want to hear the joke.
Right.
She threw it out. Most people would just go into it, and she didn't. And I didn't want to hear the joke.
That is a weird phenomenon, because you don't see people, like, singing to singers.
So people don't sing to sing, for the most part. Yeah. It's just, it's dicey, man.
But, you know. Hannibal Buress is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, the comedy special debuting on Netflix on February the 5th. I saw an announcement from you this week about something that I was very interested in, Hannibal, that you are an artist in residence at Spotify. You put together a playlist of comedy and music, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
man.
Pretty cool.
Well, mostly music, and I talk between the songs.
Mostly music?
Yeah. It's all songs, and I talk about the different songs between.
And I know you're a huge, huge music fan, and you got everybody from Busta Rhymes to Tribe Called Quest and Nas and Kanye and everything on there. Were you traveling, or were you close enough to your phone that you could follow the Kanye Wiz Khalifa beef that broke this week?
Oh, I was looking at my phone, excited.
Do you love beef? I was excited,
and now I was a part of me was like, hey, can they chill out? Because my Spotify thing just got announced. and they are dominating the music news right now.
There's something about Twitter
mostly
beef
Kanye,
that I love.
Because Wiz didn't say much. Kanye was really upset. He ended up coming off looking like an old dad a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he tweeted, Wiz Khalifa said, I'm about to hit this KK.
That's right.
KK means Khalifa Kush.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Kanye thought it meant Kim Kardashian, and he went, don't talk about my wife like that. And then Khalifa's like, no, it's weed, man. And then Kanye's looking crazy. He starts talking, and he ends up deleting everything. But, you know, it's promotion for an album. But he did come off looking like an old man.
Do you know him?
I've met him a couple times.
Met him a couple times, but wouldn't say you know him?
I wouldn't say I know him, but we know each other, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a nice
guy. Just
he's a little intense.
I think he publicly he kind of will be a little bit more off kilter, but just meet him, he's more relaxed.
He needs more of the other KK. That's what he needs.
Yeah, he needs to
calm down a bit. He came in here one time. It was a surprise. We didn't know he was going to be here, and he walked through the door and sat down.
Yeah.
And man, when you look in his eyes, it's all he believes everything he's saying 1,000%.
Hey man, you gotta believe in yourself.
He does.
That
he does.
You get it. You ever get into any beefs with other other comics or other celebrities?
No, I don't get any beefs. It's just exhausting. It's just weird. So just to be going back and forth with somebody. I wouldn't do it publicly. You know what I mean? When I hear people talk about me in an interview, I'm not about to talk about you in an interview. I'm going to just call you on the phone and say, hey, you good?
Right.
Is everything all right? I'd rather not make it a thing for people to...
I got to tell you, I love Twitter for this reason, because it lets people speak that probably need a mouthpiece or a PR person in between them and the public. And it just sometimes it's super entertaining.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, also strangers can write whatever they want to you.
Yeah.
Well, that was my next question, is how do you handle when you – I'm sure you get haters on your Twitter.
Sure.
Who are just wanting to just come down on you for whatever reason. They don't think you're funny or whatever. Do you just ignore them or are you engaged?
Sometimes I'll just – it's funny just people's angles sometimes, because I think it'd be funny if somebody would write me, why are you even doing comedy? It's like, because some people enjoy it. I just find it interesting that people would choose to write something negative towards me than writing something positive towards somebody they enjoy and supporting somebody.
Yeah, I've never understood the time and energy it takes to tell someone you don't like them.
Yeah, it's just
why
like,
don't you just ignore
that's
them?
Fine, you don't have to like me, but this is my job. Like somebody like, wow, you need to stop doing comedy and take up gardening or something. Like, if I did that, I'd be broke like you. I'm not gonna stop doing comedy because you don't like it. It's fine. It, you know, people like what they like, but you know, enough people like what I do to make sense for me to keep
How
going.
Much do you pay attention to people who talk about you
on Twitter? I see it, but I don't engage it anymore, because if you engage it, that's where it just kind of flares up, and you know, it's just like. I look at it now as just being a product where, you know, I don't like certain restaurants sometimes, or
right.
I don't like this movie, I look at myself like that, where if you're that public in the same, and then people are going to, you know, speak about you. Some people are going to enjoy it, some people are going to not, some people are going
to
be indifferent.
Sure. You'll just go to another restaurant rather than go to that restaurant
and
tell them how much they suck.
And I have all these things that I, you know, have feelings about, but I wouldn't go out of my way to tell them. You know what I mean?
I got
to
tell you, what is a little bit funny to me, though, is occasionally the people that are the meanest, if you go to their account, like, they just started that account and they tweeted that one thing.
Yeah.
Like, they started, and that's how far they go. They want to tell you they hate you so much that they start an account just to tell you that.
I saw somebody yesterday that said something to me. They said, I saw Hannibal Buress in a Samsung commercial getting ready to go buy an iPhone. And I looked at his account. He hadn't tweeted. That was his first tweet in 5 years.
Yeah.
I was like, what? I felt honored. Like, you.
I brought you out of retirement.
You stopped tweeting. You didn't tweet for half a decade. And then you saw my commercial? and you wrote me. I feel honored. Wow.
Sure. Hannibal, we're not going to have as much time as we had hoped with you today, because I know you run late. But I want to mention, in addition to the Comedy Conversado special, which is a week from Friday on Netflix, you are going to be back with Broad City. We're going to see more of Dr. Lincoln coming up here soon, right? That's debuting again.
Yeah, February 17th.
And Eric Andre's show, too?
I think in summer. We filmed Eric Andre's show already. I think Adult Swim is weird. We don't have an exact date, but I'm thinking June or July or something.
Your participation in the Eric Andre show is always fascinating to me, because it seems sort of just like you're an interested observer. Occasionally you'll shake your head no or whatever, but he just goes like a crazy man.
Dude, the day I get there, that's when I know what's going on. I usually don't know what's happening ahead of time. I mean, with guests or different bits. With the it's one of the popular bits from last season was me doing a Morpheus rap,
right?
And I didn't know it's me doing Morpheus, just rhyming Morpheus work. And when I got there, I didn't know that day. Was like, hey, just you put on this suit and rhyme words with Morpheus.
You got a weird job, Hannibal.
Yeah, I have a weird job. It's a fun one though.
When I first saw. And I swear this is true. When I first saw Dr. Ben Carson on TV, I thought, oh, my God, Hannibal Buress is running for president. I really did. It was so funny to me. And ever since that, every time I see him, he just so reminds me of you. It's just funny to me.
Ben Carson, I don't like him because he looks too much like he could be my dad, man. Yeah, he looks like he'd be my dad. I feel like he's been watching my specials and stealing my delivery a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. He's totally got your delivery.
Also,
so.
I mean, what is... Because I didn't watch. Did you watch the debates yesterday? I didn't watch.
I did.
I did not.
It just feels like at some point it's just like, hey, I'm out of here, y'all. I'm not gonna win.
Yeah,
It's no chance of him winning, but he's still going for. It's weird.
There are a lot of candidates like that are spending a ton of dough and don't have a prayer.
Yeah, they don't. It's just like, I guess they're just promoting something. I wish they would just sell a T-shirt or something else. Just. At least pitch something else. Like, hey, I got a podcast. I know this president.
Would you listen to Dr. Ben Carson's podcast?
I would listen to
it. You would not, sir.
If he sped it up. I listened to it at 1.5 speed.
That's the only way to go. Well, the special is very, very funny, you guys. It's going to be debuting on Netflix next Friday, February 5th, recorded at the Varsity Theater in Minneapolis. It's called Hannibal Buress Comedy Conversado. It's great to have you back, Hannibal.
Thank
we always enjoy when you have time to stop by, man. And let's do it again, okay?
Yep.
It is 8:54.
All week long here on the Kevin DeBean Show, right around 9 o'clock, we have been qualifying you for Weezer in Amsterdam. And the qualifying prize is a great one. You get to see them at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater with Panic at the Disco and Andrew McMahon on August 6th. That's what we're looking for right now. You get a chance to earn your ticket today. We're looking for Weezer fans right now. You want to play a game? Call us 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win Weezer tickets coming up. But first, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
You like the Weezer? Hey, you like the Weezer?
I do love the Weezer.
Hey, you like the Weezer?
Being did buy a Weezer album from a guy in a van outside
bootleg,
a store.
A bootleg Weezer album.
Yeah.
$5, man.
That happened.
Way to support the band you love so much. Liar. Lying liar who lies. You don't love the Weezer. You love the Bean. Hey, we spent a big portion of the last Showbiz Beat talking about Grease.
Yeah.
The musical, the live-action musical Grease.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's not forget...
that we already spent too much time talking about.
What's
that?
Up next for Fox in the live musical department?
What's up next?
The Passion.
Is that the name of it?
Yes, The Passion, Kevin. The Passion.
What is that?
It's the story of Jesus told with modern music. With modern music. What? Wait.
What? I thought Dirty Dancing or something was next.
The Passion.
The Passion.
Jesus. Tyler Perry's The Passion.
Oh, dear God.
Tyler Perry will be the host and narrator of the two-hour musical event.
Okay.
It's a brand-new take on the Jesus story, producers promise. It's a modern-set Jesus story set in New Orleans. The stars will all wear modern clothes. In the scene where Jesus is arrested, it'll be by the New Orleans Police Department in police cars, and he'll be wearing an orange prison jumpsuit afterwards. Yes.
What?
Finally. The Sideline of the Show will feature a procession of hundreds of people carrying a 200-foot light-up cross to the Superdome.
Okay.
Dude, is this something that
And it'll
is...
be all hit songs used in a new context, like when Judas betrays Jesus?
Yeah.
They'll be singing Imagine Dragons song Demons.
Okay.
Mary Magdalene sings Whitney Houston's My Love Is Your Love to Jesus. This has everything.
Is this a work in progress
this
that
is
you just
happen.
Sort of they leaked some information that's not final yet?
Giancarlo Canella will be playing Jesus. Trisha Yearwood is Mary Magdalene.
This is not happening.
Tyler Perry's your host, and Chris Daughtry is Judas. Woo! Rock on!
No.
I'm glad I didn't vote for him on American Idol now. Now that I see he's Judas.
He's not actually Judas. He's just playing Judas. You people don't get it, man.
That's, are they, is this going to be at Christmas time?
I believe Easter.
Easter.
Set for
okay.
an Easter airing.
All right.
Because, really, Easter is more about Jesus. Christmas well, more about candy canes.
Yeah, Easter is his John.
But Jesus is John.
Okay,
I've got that bumper sticker. Hey, America loves movie stars, right?
Right.
That's why the Harris Poll people have put together their annual list of America's favorite movie stars. Some may come as a surprise to you. It was for me. Like Clint Eastwood at number 8. When's the last time Clint was in a movie?
Yeah. Been a while.
Directs, I don't know. He directs a ton, but...
Yeah.
Was it Gran Torino?
Yeah, maybe it was Gran Torino, which was great, but it was a long time ago.
Get off my lawn, you Vietnamese people.
That's pretty much it.
Great performance.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts are tied in 9th and 10th. Then Clint Eastwood, Jennifer Lawrence, 7th. Sandra Bullock is 6th. Harrison Ford is 5th.
Adele Dazeem.
No, but Denzel Washington is 3rd.
Tequila.
Dick Poop.
Nope, Tequila did not make it. Dick also
Dick Poop.
Missing from the list.
Okay, out.
John.
These nuts.
These nuts didn't make it. John Wayne is 4th.
Come on. John Wayne.
Well, let me tell you a little something, Pilgrim. People still love the Duke, you see.
Isn't he the only... dead one on the list that you've named?
Yeah, I think so.
Not if you can't Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock also.
She's very much alive.
She's alive.
Okay. Whatever you say. He is the only dead person on the list, yeah.
Well, then that's weird. It's weird that he would be allowed. He'd be
listen,
considered.
You
for
don't
the list,
understand. Listen, you.
Well, then
you
why not put Humphrey Bogart on there?
Media? Listen, you liberal leftist lamestream media member. America loves John Wayne. He's a goddamn national treasure.
Apparently so.
This is getting goddamn ridiculous.
I'm just happy you get a chance to pull out the impression.
That's the only reason I'm doing this whole story.
It's been a long time.
Now you listen up, Pilgrim. We're going to go beat up those indigenous peoples and shoot them dead. Because that's how the West was won, you see.
Right. Denzel Washington is 3rd. Johnny Depp was 2nd. Johnny Depp.
Dr. Boogie.
Uh-huh. Number 1. Dr. Boogie.
Good
congratulations,
guess.
Rodney. You're absolutely
that?
Right.
Oh, that's cool.
Dr. Boogie, a.k.a. Tom Hanks.
Ah.
Dr. Boogie to his friends. Number 1. America's favorite movie star.
Who's less Dr. Boogie than Tom Hanks? I mean, really.
I think he is Dr. Boogie.
All right.
Tonight, 10 p.m., the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon. You want to see us?
No.
Of course you do.
No!
Come on out and join us. All you have to do is go to improv.com to get your tickets. We're going to have a blast tonight talking about all things entertainment. And, of course, a little about Sundance, too. We're there with the
you
yoga
know,
hosers.
No.
Maybe we'll read that one good review we got out loud.
You only got one good review?
Yeah.
Really?
It wasn't really good. It was less hateful than the others.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was brutal.
But wasn't there like a bidding war for the movie, though?
Yes, yes. And audiences loved it.
It's just critics.
Critics no likey.
I feel like that's critics' job. About half the time, they just feel like they have to hate stuff.
Plus, also, keep in mind, my character in the film, I do play a deranged Nazi scientist who has been in suspended animation for 70 years and then gets thawed out. That old chestnut.
Okay.
You've got to be so sick of typecasting.
And I do create a series of creatures destined, because I am a failed artist, to murder all critics. So maybe they saw that in the storyline and didn't respond as positively as they could have.
It doesn't sound like you were courting them much.
Could have been perhaps a sticking point with some of them as they watched that story unfold.
Yeah.
That's just me. All right. Celebrity birthdays. Tom Selleck, 71. Oprah Winfrey, 62. Edward Burns is 48. Heather Graham turns 46. Sarah Gilbert is 41. Adam Lamp.
It's Kazoo, and you just guessed the tune we played for you. It's Kazoo, and you, because we love kazoos, and you do too. It's Kazoo, and you win some ticks, not one, but two. It's Kazoo, and you, come on, let's play Kazoo, and you.
Maybe a mistake of getting the title from an email from Dave, the King of Mexico, that says you and Kazoo.
Yeah, he can't be trusted.
Yeah, that was before the title came.
So, Dave, why are kazoos on your mind? Why are we playing a game with kazoos right now?
Yesterday in the Internet Roundup, we featured Kazoo and You, the video, which was an infomercial from 1989, where these kids are playing kazoos.
And they're so happy.
That looked like so much fun.
Those kids are having such a great time.
They were.
Look at how happy they are. I need a kazoo.
And it sounded awesome.
Sure.
So I figured, hey, if we ever need to do a game, then we should do Kazoo and You.
Kazoo and You.
Kazoo and You.
All right.
Okay. So now, here we are.
So Dave went out and bought a bunch of kazoos at Target yesterday. And by the way, we are periscoping this through the Kevin Bean Twitter account right now. We have a couple of hundred people already tuning in to watch Dave play the kazoo for the first time in how long, Dave?
I don't know. 20 years?
All right.
Yeah.
It's going to go well.
By the way, I just about to open these up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hasn't practiced.
Do good. Yeah. So
go ahead and open them.
That's step one.
All right. We'll start with going to JD in Los Angeles. Hi, JD.
Uh-oh.
All right, JD, so Dave is going to be playing a Weezer song for you on the kazoo, or attempting to. All you have to do is identify it by title, and you win tickets to go see Weezer over the summer, and you're qualified for the grand prize during Monday to see the band in Amsterdam, okay?
Okay, got it.
All right, good luck.
Good luck.
Okay, you ready?
We just asked him that. He's ready.
We already covered that, Dave.
Okay, I was talking to myself.
All right.
I'm pumping myself up. Go.
All right. I'm hearing more of Dave breathing than I am Dave blowing, but...
Oh, okay. That's
okay,
enough.
JD, right, Dave. What
song is that,
good,
please?
Good, Dave. Good. JD?
Oh, sweater song?
No, I'm sorry. That was Island in the Sun.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it didn't sound anything like that, but all right. Sorry about that.
By the way, this time...
It's tiring. You just played 20 seconds of a kazoo and you're tired?
It's like reverse whistling.
Wow. Let's take it right out of you. Chris in West Covina. Hi.
Hey.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to Kazoo and You. Good luck.
All right.
We can't all blow hum like you, Kevin.
Here's Dave.
All right.
All right. Okay, good.
Wow.
Excellent. Wow. All right.
Wow.
Less
Chris,
of that.
I'm so sorry you had to hear that. What Weezer song is he trying to play on the kazoo?
Does that say it ain't so?
No! No, that's not really. Yeah, it didn't. This game might be the new hardest game in the world. We might have discovered one harder than the other.
I felt so bad for Chris. He sounded like such a nice man. I felt like he deserved to win.
It's all on you, Dave.
It's hard for the contestants and the person.
Let's go to Tanya in Long Beach. Hi, Tanya.
Hi there.
All right.
Have you heard what's come before?
I have.
Okay, good luck with this.
Did you know any of the ones before?
I had Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Cool.
All right, here you go. Here's your song. Okay.
What is Dave playing? What song is Dave playing?
The next one on the list, Bean.
Tanya, okay. What's he doing there? What song?
My name is Jonas.
Sorry, that's undone. Sweater song. Yeah.
Okay.
How do you guys think this is going?
How many pair of tickets do we have?
Five.
Five pair.
Dave, are
how many have we given away so far?
Zero.
Zero.
So far. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you on the same list we're on? You're playing the songs that match up, that correspond with the next title?
Chip, yes. Can you rock this? Can you do that?
Oh, Chip's going.
I'm bailing on Dave.
Wait, one more.
One more. All right.
Okay, look. It's on you, man. Not giving away any tickets. Juan in San Dimas, hi.
Hey, it's me.
All right, here we go.
Here you go. Good luck.
You think you should win what?
I got to win them. This is the hardest game in the world. No one else is going to get it.
Yeah, you won tickets.
You can't play the kazoo for crap.
Right. Yeah. Agreed, right. You won tickets for Irvine Meadows, and you're in the drawing to go to Amsterdam. All right.
Okay.
Got one.
All right. Maybe that was the turn.
Here we go. Yeah. We're gonna
You feeling good about the next
one,
Dave?
Here we go. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Ruben in Los Angeles. Hi, Ruben.
Hello.
Ruben is a musician. How does this sound to you so far, Ruben?
I can't really discern any musical.
Same. Hey, Ruben, can you play the kazoo?
Same.
Hey, Dave. Musician, can't play the kazoo. All right, let's just
more time
it.
Playing the kazoo and less time talking
all right.
All right, that's
pretty good.
What song you got there?
Buddy Holly.
Yes!
Oh, thank God.
I felt like you nailed that one, Dave.
I think that was pretty good, too. All right, we got to get out of this. Let's try one more, though, with Louis in San Gabriel, line six, please.
My soul is being eaten away with this game. Yeah. All right, Louis, you ready?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Good luck.
I don't guarantee this one.
Great.
That's not bad. Louis, what song is that, please?
Pork and Beans.
Yes, it is. Let's do one more. We're on a roll now, Bean.
Are we going to do the old one more?
Yes,
one more.
Why not, Bean? This is America. Victor in Highland Park.
Hello.
Don't ruin it. Here we go.
Okay, here we go.
One more time.
That's going to be Marlon. She's in Inglewood. She's on line 8, our final contestant for Kazoo and You, the Weezer edition.
All right. We're winning together. Yes. This is great. All right.
You ready?
Hey there.
Here
I'm
we
ready.
Go. Good luck. Don't blow it. Come on now. We're all excited. We got a head of momentum going.
All right. Ready?
Okay. He's going to fall over dead.
Okay, here we go.
Girls.
Yeah!
Nicely done. Wow. I got to tell you, I was nervous about that head of momentum we had going, but you kept it going, Marlon. Congratulations to you and Victor and Louie and Ruben. You're all going to see Weezer this summer, and Monday we might send you to Amsterdam. Thanks for playing Kazoo and You.
Kazoo and You.
Kazoo! 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
I have something here that I think Kevin and Ralph are both going to be very into because it involves going to Dodger Stadium, but no threat of baseball breaking out.
Perfect.
So, okay.
How about
perfect that?
Trip to Dodger Stadium.
Good. Talking about Curious, the Cabinet of Curiosities. It's the latest show from Cirque du Soleil. It's going to be happening at Dodger Stadium tonight. They've tented it, don't you know? It's a big top at Dodger Stadium, and it's going to be there all week long, but it opens tonight. If you want to go, we want you to go. Caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. Congratulations. You're going to Curious, the Cabinet of Curiosities. Love the name of that. It's intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes me
curious. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat now on a Friday. What's going on?
What do you think? What's going on inside that cabinet?
What's happening in that tent?
That has me curious.
I'm very curious.
My only fear is, you know, I'm a pretty cool cat. And curiosity, they say.
Man, oh, man. Holy.
Sit down.
It's not healthy.
Holy.
Curiosity's not healthy for cats, I've heard.
Not a good combination, those two.
I got something that's a good combination. A little TV series called Gotham over there on Fox. That's part of the equation.
All right.
Then you add a little Jada Pinkett Smith.
She left.
Returning to Gotham.
Didn't she get thrown off the top of a building or something?
Or did she?
I thought she did. I'm pretty sure I saw that.
The Penguin, Oswald Cobblepot,
right,
did struggle with Fish Mooney, and she did topple off that building at the pier and plunge into the water.
Right. That was my understanding. Is
right.
You can live. You can live through that, Bean.
Word, Kevin.
You can live
word
through that.
To your mama. You can live through that. Apparently, Fish has. And she will be returning in season two for multiple episodes, according to TVLine.com. We all thought it was a watery grave, but even at the time, showrunner Bruno Heller said, "I would definitely not assume anything in a town like Gotham. It's very unpredictable, the comic book world. Aha! Especially when the folks up there at Indian Hill are conducting strange experiments, as in Hugo Strange, right? Who's with me?"
I don't know what that means.
Oh, Bean. I don't know what to do with you, young man.
Yeah.
Your mother and I are at our wits' end with you. We're just disappointed.
Your mother and I.
Wait, does that make me his mother? Yes.
Damn.
Fish Mooney's coming back!
So many times. Okay, that's the important takeaway.
That's
here.
The important takeaway. I was thought to be dead, but Gotham will once again feel the sting of my fish stinger. You probably won't say that because I don't know if fish sting, but there's going to be a lot of overacting. That's all I'm saying. And I, for one, am
you're all in
to it. Yes.
So boycotting the Oscars, not boycotting Gotham. Got
that's right. Gotham, not so white. Hashtag.
I think you put the hashtag at the beginning.
Oh, that's true. I don't know, you kids with your puka shells and your beanbag chairs and your hashtags, your lava lamps. I don't know how you kids play these days.
Hashtag suck it.
My day is just you put a stamp on a letter and you mail it to your sweetheart.
That wasn't even your day.
Nope.
Hashtag fail.
Jefferson Airplane co-founder, songwriter, singer, guitarist Paul Cantor has passed away. For those of you who are like Kevin and don't appreciate classic rock and roll, you need to know that the Jefferson Airplane was the signature band to come out of San Francisco. The first big band to come out of the San Francisco music scene. They were a big deal at the time. They, they played a few high-profile gigs. Like, I don't know, they were the stars at Woodstock.
Just that, though?
Monterey Pop Festival. Altamont.
Only those three, though?
Anything's ringing a bell? Pretty big deal. Marty Balin and Paul Cantor put the band together in the late 60s, and they had a record deal with a lead singer named Signe Anderson. She took off to have babies and wanted to start a family, so they had to find a new female singer, and they brought in a young lady named Grace Slick, former model, singer-songwriter, and she had penned a couple tunes that they decided to record for their second album, one called White Rabbit. Hello!
I need you, boy. Chasing rabbits.
Right?
And you know you're going to fall.
Doesn't this make you just want to drop acid?
Tell them a hookah.
You want to cut a vein.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
This song is fantastic.
Awesome.
Dear God.
Go ask Alex. When she's 10 feet tall.
That's good stuff right there.
Oof. Somebody to love. Don't you want better? Somebody to love?
Better? That song's soft, though.
Come, how can you say White Rabbit song?
It just does. It just sucks.
Man. If you were at Altamont, I'd stab you. It's like the Hell's Angels. Ain't that ringing a bell, Kevin, that story? No?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, passed away at 74. His daughter, you may remember, was a former MTV VJ and actress named China Cantor. He also had two other children from other relationships. Paul and Grace Slick got together, and that's China's mom and dad. So our thoughts go out to the Cantner family. Cantor,
Kevin, you don't remember Cantor China family. Working here? Working
oh, yeah. Here? She's my favorite.
We used to see her all the time.
Yeah.
You really don't remember her working here?
I do.
You don't.
Loved her. Do you remember a guy named Kimmel? You remember him? He was on the show for a while.
No.
Corolla?
Linda Lohan!
Yes.
And her mother,
she
Gina.
She used to work on the show.
No, she never did.
Oh.
Apparently, their relationship is back on the rocks.
That's hard to believe.
Lindsay Instagrammed a cartoon of her throwing a phone next to the words, "We're done." And then stated in a very cryptic, sort of subtle way, "Sucks when your mom isn't there for you." So,
what does she mean by that, you think?
People are speculating perhaps there is some sort of rift between the two in their relationship.
It feels odd to me that families are fighting through social media.
It's the whole social media
just
thing. Really
seems terrible.
The more I wade around in it, the less I like it. It's just a mess.
Really,
it's
gonna go on Twitter to tell your mom that she's a bad mom? Really?
Facebook and Instagram and Twitter is just being used for all the most heinous things. It's just it's a swamp. As we get closer to the election, I can't bear to read Facebook anymore. Facebook has become the place where everybody yells at everybody else about politics.
Yeah, politics
sucks.
It's
just nonstop. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Riff Raff is 34 years old today. Singer Adam Lambert also turns 34. Sarah Gilbert is 41, talented actress, and now one of the hosts of The Click.
I think it is The Click. It's a show about remote controls.
Which girls get together in a little group. Heather Graham's 46. Edward Burns turns 48, actor and director. Oprah Winfrey is 62.
Does my butt look big?
Well, not anymore. You dropped 26 pounds and gained $19 million by announcing that you dropped 26 pounds with Weight Watchers. And Tom Selleck,
You're not a fan of how good he looks.
It's disturbing. It's wrong. It's against nature. That's why it bothers me, because it flies in the face of nature. It does. It's breaking all the laws.
Is he evil?
That we rule the planet by. Things we know to be scientific constants are being flouted.
Right. When you get to be 71, you look terrible.
Right. That's
the
way
the
world
works.
And you don't just go, "Oh, I'm not me. I'm Tom Selleck. Look at me."
Who's a dad was he on Friends? He was Monica's dad, or was he Rachel's
dad? No, he was Monica.
Dad?
He was neither.
He was somebody.
Oh, sweet God.
He was dating Monica.
He was dating Monica. He was a friend of Monica's parents. He was a doctor who was dating Monica.
That's what it was.
Anybody's parents.
And he was like in his 50s then, and I remember thinking, oh my God, he looks exactly the same as he did when he was in his
30s. Yeah,
and now here he is in his 70s, and he doesn't look any worse.
It's infuriating, and there should be some sort of congressional inquiry, because there's HGH or something. Someone needs to look into this, because there's performance-enhancing drugs or... Something's happening.
Yeah. And Stamos, while we're at it, and Rob Lowe. I mean, there's just a bunch of them.
Stamos,
apparently...
what's he, 50 or something?
Yeah, he's 50.
All right, you give the guy a pass at 50, he just got lucky. He won the genetic lottery.
Yeah, but he's probably going to look like 70.
He's not going to look like that at 71. Nobody looks like that at 71.
Okay. Tom Selleck does.
Selleck. Oh, Selleck. My mortal enemy. From hell's heart, I stab at thee, Selleck.
Seems a little rough for a guy that looks pretty good for his age.
But I'm telling you, it's wrong. Don't you understand, Kevin?
Right, I get it.
I'm all about right and wrong.
That's,
and Matt,
that you are.
Ain't right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have from the UFC, Matt Serra, and we've got the president of the UFC as well. Dana White will join us in studio. Enjoy the Pro Bowl, everybody.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
By my watch, it's margarita o'clock.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You want it on the air?
Roll another one.
Oh, my, Kendra, you do have a terrific
just like the other one.
I love you get a copy of
this one seems to be about to quit.
You're being quite rude.
And I need another hit.
Boy, that creative thing you guys do, writing jokes for a living, making the world laugh. What do your dads tell their friends you do?
Surgeon. Optometrist. Died.
Roll another one.
What are we not going to eat anymore? Oreos.
Just like the other one.
I'm just saying, why don't you say less?
This one seems to be about.
I don't want to know about bad things at all.
could help you, but I can't sleep with a black guy. I'd lose my endorsement deal with NASCAR.
Come on, Eileen.
Just pass it around.
How the hell did that turn into that?
That's how we do it, folks. That's how we do it.
Fish, I'm out. Fish, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fish, I'm out.
Nope.
Fish, I'm out.
All right, then.
I don't know what the just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the up out of here. Fish, I'm out.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Bye.